Hey, thanks for listening to the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Before we get too deep into this thing, I want to thank the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, authorized service centers all across America, privateer proven, gold valves. They got suspension parts as well. Get your right spring rate done. Get a revalve. Get a oil change. Get motor work done. All of it. Racetech.com. They've been in business since, the early 80s or something. And the best part is if you tell them you listen to Pulp MX, the guys at Racetech and Racetech.com will give you a discount. That's right. It's that easy. Get some motor work done. Get suspension work done. Anything like that. Racetech.com, the home for suspension. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication, your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Thank you for watching or listening. We're doing a few of these on YouTube now. And with this gentleman, we just had to do this one on video as well as audio. Thanks for watching and listening. Thank you to Fly Racing, Cooper Webb, of course, RJ Hampshire, Chance Hymus. The code PULPMX saves you with flyracing.com. The Formula helmet's amazing. They've got a few different price points on that. It all is super safe. It's all real quiet. That Formula helmet's awesome. Check that out. The BOA closure system is on two different lines of gear that they have, and of course women's gear, kids gear, freestyle gear. Flyracing.com for more information. Thank you to Fly for making this happen. Use that code to save. RacerX as well. Subscribe to RacerX. I just wrote a story about my trip to Australia and my trip to France, so please check that out as well on RacerX magazine. Thank you to motorsport.com, Renthal, Maxxis, Brunt Workwear. We'll tell you more about them as we go on later on in this show. But speaking of magazine stories, I also went to the UK and wrote a couple of magazine stories on what has turned out to be a fantastic race over the years. And they've got some news. You guys probably all heard Zach Osborne and Villopoto and Phil on my shows over the years talking about this Vet des Nations at Fox Hill. And like I said, I've been there a couple times as well. So to talk about the new news, the new location, the Farley race they've added, Fox Hill race in the past, and more, is one of the brainchilds behind this whole thing. It's Dave King. What's up, Dave? How are you, man?
Yeah, fine, thank you. Yeah, nice to speak to you, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. It's late there in the UK, so yeah, appreciate that again. Fantastic race, you guys. You, Doc Wobb, all your everybody involved have done this for, I think, 4 years? 4 years at Fox Hill?
I think, yes,
Five?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Four,
so
yeah.
So, obviously, it's not just me. Myself and Rob Walters, a.k.a. Doc Wobb, who many of your listeners will already know. We are partners in this, and I'll hold my hands up. Rob is pretty much steering the ship at the moment. He is. we do different things.
Right.
And we do very different things, but I think we work very well together. And Rob comes up with pretty much nearly all the ideas at the moment, and they're all pretty they're all good ones.
Yeah. No, I bet. Let's hope he doesn't listen to this. He'll probably go for a bigger than 50% stake with you, Dave. So Fox Hill, it's an iconic venue. It's going back to the MXGP class next year.
Yes.
Which will be interesting. You guys moved your event to Hawkstone.
Correct.
And I guess take us through that. Take us through the switch to Hawkstone and what that facility, it's also iconic, and that what that facility is going to add to the race.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, we've been, originally we started this event, or I started the event in 2009. We ran until 2022 at Farley Castle. Then me and Rob collaborated then. We were collaborating before, but in a different way. Then mm-hmm. we properly became partners, and we created the event at Fox Hills. And the club or the people who run Fox Hills now have got aspirations to run a Grand Prix, which has finally come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And we thought it was a good time to let them do their own thing. Their focus is going to be on the GP next year, as it should be. And our focus is on the future of the VMXDN. And really, the only other venue in the UK, there's three historic Grand Prix venues. There's Farley Castle, we've done that. Fox Hills, we've done that. And there's Hawkstone Park. So we had a few meetings with the club at Hawkstone, and they were more than happy to listen to us. And yeah, we're going there next August bank holiday, which is the last weekend in August.
Mm-hmm. My immediate thoughts are the Fox Hill track, Iconic Hills. Is that place ready for an MXGP? Dave, I don't know how much you want to comment on it, but
today, no.
Okay.
Absolutely right. Not. I think is the GP in next July?
I don't know.
I think it is.
They got some work to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of work there to do, but I have no doubt that they will do it. Obviously, you know, me and Rob have got absolutely nothing to do with that event, but we will be there as a spectator. Me personally, I think it'll be rammed. I think it'll be a great, you know, it's easy to sell.
One thing, though, I got to say is your event has grown so fast, so big, that in my 2 years there, I had 20 to 30 people tell me this is bigger than any GP we've ever done here over the years.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, wait, what? Like the MXGP, they're like, oh yeah, no, this event is bigger than any GP. And I was always blown away, but I'm telling you, 20 to 30 people told me that. So it sounds like you've got the premier event going on with this event stuff.
So just to let you in on a little side story, the organizers mm-hmm. of the MXGP invited me and Rob to Matley Basin last year, where that was the former venue, and invited us to actually run the Grand Prix for them. They're not shy. They see what we do, and a lot of people want a part of it. Well, me and Rob are keen to keep it to ourselves, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
And MXGP is not for me or Rob. We've got our, you know, we're vintage guys. It's not for us. So that was never going to be for us. But as I said, the club were keen to do it, and I think it will be. I think it will be a success as long as the weather's right in July. It should be. I think it will be busy.
Is there any way that you and Rob, when you broke away from Farley and decided to go to Fox Hill and start this yourselves, is there any way you thought it would grow to as big as it has been?
No chance. No. I remember when I remember pitching it to Rob, you know, about the figures involved, and it was just ridiculous. I had no clue. That's where Rob comes into this. Rob and his wife, Claire, of what I had was like a cottage garden event. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rob and Claire came in and they supercharged it.
Yeah.
You know, which is what you need in a business. You need somebody with an idea, but somebody who then can make that commercially viable, because it's got to work, because it's got to work financially, because it's, you know, I work on it every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Rob does a lot more hours in the workshop. He does different type of work to me, but you know, I'm always working on, I hate that word networking, but trying to convince riders to come. And Rob builds a bike. So if I get a, you know, like when Villapoto wanted to ride, I make the call to Rob, can you build him a bike? And I know what the answer is going to be. So it's easy
for
me.
He's going to swear and tell you no, and then he's going to do it.
That is generally that is kind of the way it goes.
Right.
But yeah, he's a glutton for it.
This Hawkstone race, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, this is the, there's an iconic shot of Georges Jobet leaping over a sand double over somebody. I think that's Hawkstone, Andre, right?
This is, he was leaping over Andre Malherbe, who at the time was, what year was that?
Three
I think
times?
It was in 84. So I think Andre was current world champion.
Yeah.
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 Yes, and that bomb hole's still there. It's not. No. I don't think it's possible to actually do that jump anymore because they've taken the edge off of it, but the bomb hole's still there. And the other iconic part about Hawkstone is Hawkstone Hill, a huge, long drag uphill, perfect for a 500 two-stroke.
Yeah, so it's a little sandier, right? This Hawkstone's a lot sandier than Fox Hill. Yeah,
Fox Hill's is no sand at all. Fox Hill's is hard chalk, hard pack. So it's a sandy but with a hard base.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there would be many comparisons in the USA of a similar type of surface.
So what's been the reaction to your, I mean, you've got, you know, guys who live for this event every single year. They bring their bikes out. They got the show and shine stuff. They race their bikes. It's phenomenal. The bikes involved in your races are just, I mean, we're old, Dave. So, you know, maybe it's just cool to us, but what's been the reaction from your clientele, your paying customers to the switch?
I'll be honest with you. I was really nervous, Steve. I was really nervous. Rob wasn't. He was confident that it would be a success. And we, when we announced it, you get a general feel from Facebook comments.
Yep, yep.
And straight away, there was a lot more positivity than there was negativity. And then when we put spectator tickets on sale, and we sold more tickets in a week than we did in nearly 5 or 6 months of last year of going to Fox Hills.
Okay. Is that a location thing or a track thing, or what do you think?
Possibly it might be a novelty thing because you're going to a different venue. Hawkstone is more centrally located in the UK, so it's more accessible to everybody. And it's... it's a historic, it's not an overused motocross venue. I think they probably only have 5 or 6 events there a year, and they're always very selective about who goes there. It's got to be a prestigious event. And then when we did the rider entries 2 weekends ago, I think we nearly blew up the bloke server who does the online entries for us. It was just... full in seconds, literally seconds. I had a friend sit with me who tried to enter, and he did it. We do it on the dead of 4 o'clock on this Sunday afternoon, you know, when everybody in Europe has got nothing to do, and he couldn't get on for love nor money. We had enough people book in to do another event if we wanted to. It's crazy.
Oh, good. Good to hear. The only thing that I think about, a couple things. So sand track is, you got to be better at fitness. It gets rough. And then the bikes also, you know, they need to withstand some sand motos over the weekend. But then on the flip side, if you want to complain a bit about Fox Hill, it's a man's track. There's some jumps out there. It's some scary hills.
Absolutely.
So like I see both sides of this as far as which venue would work better for your event, you know?
Yeah. As a rider, you know, an older rider, I would attempt Hawkstone. I wouldn't attempt Fox Hills. Mm-hmm. It's way too severe for somebody of my ability. But for as a spectator, you know, Fox Hills is fantastic. You can see nearly all of it from virtually anywhere.
Yep.
Whereas Hawkstone is more of an atmospheric track because the track wiggles between trees. I mean, I watched the Nations in Ironman. And if Iron Man had a big hill, that's what it reminded me of.
Yep. I don't remember. Is the Hawkstone Hill that you're talking about, is that off the start, like a few turns off the start?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
It's almost
a different track.
About 3/4 of the way through the lap, but it's a big, big hill.
Got it. Okay.
A big hill.
Awesome. No, listen, your event, you guys have been crushing it, and I'm glad it's been successful because, there are some risks in the move right?
Huge risk. I mean, you never... You know, it's your idea, isn't it? You never know whether people are going to come. You know, one day this is going to end for one reason or another. I don't want it to be just yet.
Yeah.
But changing venue could be a big reason for, potentially, it could have flopped. Who knows? But
yeah.
fingers crossed.
Good. No, it sounds like it's all right. Thank you to Fly Racing for making this happen. Renthal as well. Speaking of the UK, made over there in the UK. Renthal's got a new direct-to-consumer website, free shipping over $99. Monster Energy Kawasaki, Red Bull KTM, Honda guys using Renthal. Honda hasn't used anything but Renthal since 1986, man. So please check out Renthal. Mountain bike parts available now as well, direct-to-consumers. Carbon bars, aluminum bars, stems. They got exciting things coming from Renthal, renthal.com. Thank you to those guys. And by the way, probably due to Dave's and Rob's event, a few years ago, Renthal started mass producing the cloth bar pads again. And so they're available for your vintage bike, and they're all over the Vet MXDN. So please check that out. And also thank you to Maxxis Tires. Jeremy McGrath helped develop the Maxxis MXSTs, softer intermediate to hard terrain tires. PRMX guys putting Maxxis Tires into main events and getting points and all of that. Mitchell Harrison and Bubba Pauly and all of that. So Maxxis.com for more information on that. Dave King here from the Vet MXDN, now at Hawkstone starting this year. So pretty cool deal. So Dave, you mentioned Farley and you broke away and did the Fox Hill thing, but then now you're back at Farley, still putting on another event later on in the year. What's the difference? What's the difference between Farley and Fox Hill? Like, I haven't been to Farley yet. I still want to go. What's the difference?
Farley is a much more pleasurable experience for a rider. It's a big, wide open, grassy, just a typical European grassy track. Very historic Grand Prix, 500 Grand Prix there up until 89. No man-made jumps. A lot of natural elevation. There's a section of the track called the Woods. So Farley is set out into two, really. You've got a main open green field on a slight camber, and then you've got the Woods section. And when you go into the Woods, the ground's always a bit softer in there because it holds the moisture. And then you've got the steps, which is a series of natural steps where it elevates you. Mm-hmm. You go along a veranda and back down along and then out into the main sort of grassy field. But it's a 500cc track. It's perfect for a 500cc bike.
Is it the Farley event? Is it at, like, there's also the original Farley event runs and there's some other stuff going on. Is the Farley event for you guys as successful as the Fox Hill one?
Is it what, Steve?
Successful, like entry wise and everything else?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So we don't get as many spectators at Farley as we do at Fox Hill / Hawkstone. That's a completely different, it's a much younger vibe we get at the VMXDN at Hawkstone.
Okay.
It's younger guys. And with, you know, the star guys we get, like Villapoto this year, Christophe Porcel.
Yep.
I don't think those guys would enjoy Farley. It wouldn't be challenging enough for them.
Sure. Who do you have coming to Hawkstone? What do we have for names? Obviously, Brownie's not riding. He's been a hero of your event over the years.
Totally.
He's weeded himself up. Right.
Mike's been the backbone of the event for, probably 8 or 9 years.
So who do we got coming to Hawkstone?
We missed him this year. I haven't spoken to Mike for a couple of months, and I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, I think he's doing better.
So the guys who throw their hat in the ring at the moment is Ryan Sipes is coming back. Ryan's a good one, real fun guy.
Yeah.
So easy to get on with. I entrusted him to try and convince Kevin Windham to come over.
Oh, I don't think that's happening. I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. So unfortunately, I had a message from Ryan at the weekend I wouldn't even want Kevin to ride. I just want him to be hanging around, but he's just not up for it.
You had Bradshaw and LaRocco come over and sort of be the the honorary. Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, what you got to remember is us guys in Europe never got to see the top Americans. We still don't. It's no different now. We still don't, you know, they're just these mythical characters we see on the internet that we read about and we see pictures of doing all this stuff.
Right.
it's cool just to meet them and to find out who they are.
Yeah.
A lot of guys, especially me, we don't need to see them ride a bike. That'll be a bonus. But if you're going to come and hang out and sign autographs, brilliant.
Yeah, Bradshaw had a great time. He loved it.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, because you were there that year.
Yep.
But early days, hopefully I'll have Christophe Boissel back, who was the absolute star of the show last year. He was just amazing. Such a cool guy.
I watched that first moto with Philipparts, Porcel, Tommy. I think there was one other guy. It was
Brad Anderson.
Anderson, dude, a battle. Lewis Phillips and I were sitting at a national somewhere watching that on just like it was a great race. It was amazing, crazy.
They were bouncing off each other. It was like their life depended on it. Yeah. Like, hey, come on, this is just a bit of fun. hopefully Tommy Searle will be back. Mel Pocock, who was a former Grand Prix MX2 contender. Brad Anderson will be back. The Italian team's already committed, so that's former world champion David Philipparts. Alessio Chiodi, who everybody knows. Ivo Monticelli. But it's with me, it's always work in progress. I'm always talking to people. I'm always being a pain in the neck trying to convince them it's a good idea to jump on a plane and come into our event.
Yeah, no, it should be good. And you might get some of the guys that did Fox Hill, like Villopoto or Osborne, you might get them coming back to do the sand, to do Hawkstone.
I must admit, there's a connection with Mel Pocock and Zach. They were very good friends. They were teammates back in the GP days. So I'm hoping we can work something out for Zach to come back. I haven't spoken to him yet, but that's my plan.
Zach's on Pulp MX payroll. I'll just make him go.
Unfortunately, he's on a weird brand of bike, isn't he? Which could be difficult.
Yeah, maybe that's a good point. Yeah, he's got an ambassador deal. Dubok, the mayor, Doug Dubok. He stays at your house. He travels Europe for months at a time. He rides YZM 500s. Doug
what
Dubok,
a life
man.
Yeah,
oh, dude. Love Doug. He's just a general, like just a hell of a guy. And you and him have struck up quite a friendship. He's always done all your races. He's done all these races, all over these Europe races.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah. How that connection came about, I came over to the States in, I think it was 2010 or 2011, when there was MXGP at Glen Helen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I met Doug for the first time. And who could not get on well with Doug? Doug gets on well with everybody.
Yeah.
And Doug had already got a long history of racing in Europe through his racing career. And it was the easiest sell for me to get it, convince him to come. He came the first time. And Doug's a great ambassador for me, because me and you probably wouldn't be speaking now if it weren't for Doug. Doug is so well known over there, and he's at Glen Helen every week. Everybody knows him, and he will sing our praises. So Doug is my connection over there, really.
Yeah, and also he's a great guy. Like, everybody likes Doug. You know what I mean? He's got no enemies. He's a helpful dude. No ego on Doug Dubok. And then he stays and he does these races in Italy and France, and he goes back over.
I introduced him to all those vintage races, and they can't get rid of him now.
Exactly. It's like Doug's back again. It's awesome. And he's a hell of a guy. Now, there were some low key talks with FIM at one point about maybe you guys, you and Rob, putting some four race series together, getting this thing a little more serious. I love it. I think it's a great idea. There was Majora involved at some point. Are those dreams dead, Dave? Is that still a pipe dream for you and Rob? Like, where's that at?
Does this go out, Steve?
This will go out. Well, it can go out whenever we want. Yeah.
We are still talking.
Oh,
We will know very early in the new year what we're doing with that. But I'm pretty sure something will be happening with that. It won't be happening at the VMXDN. That will always be a standalone event.
Yep.
We don't need anything else there. It will be Farley Castle.
Wow, that's awesome. That's cool. I know there was, like I said, a couple years ago, there were definitely talks. I mean, you guys have the rules, you have the crowd, you have the people, the following. Everyone knows you run a great race. So, yeah, and this, I mean, it's just incredible how much this vintage two-stroke stuff has taken off. So yeah, if you're exactly. the FIM, and if you're anybody, yeah.
You know, who wouldn't, you know, a guy like, I'm just throwing names out there, a guy like Tommy Searle, who got very close to winning a world title, but didn't quite get that, you know, at 36 years of age, all of a sudden, you could get an official, you know, it's yeah. still going to be... I know it probably doesn't mean the same, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure. No, absolutely. And you guys have proven yourself now for so many years that you can do this, you and Rob, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those people at the FIM, they don't miss a trick, and they track us and they see what we do.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they know that we can do a good job. And I think... in the not too distant future, you could. I don't think you'd want any more than two rounds in Europe
mm-hmm.
because it'd be too expensive for two yeah. rounds would be expensive. One would, you know, be yep. expensive, but two rounds, one at Farley Castle and one at another iconic track.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would convince some riders to jump on a plane and go and do it. The logistics of that is, you know, still difficult because flyaway guys have got to have a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do they bring their own bike, so they'd have to tie up, you know, with other people yeah. in that country to borrow bikes. And, you know, we all know what borrowing bikes is like.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it's not going to be easy, but I think it's doable.
So on that note, like over here in America... for vintage racing, a lot of it is like, you know, two shocks and then disc brakes or no disc brakes. And then, you know, Evo era bikes. But then like an 02 YZ250 that I raced when I went there was, you know, I mean, dude, there isn't any difference between a 2025 and an 02 outside of aluminum frame. But motor's the same, brakes, suspension, all of it. So some people would say, hey, that 02 is not vintage and you can't race that. You guys let people do that. How do you sort of, you and Rob, how do you, you know, because there is some sticklers for rules with vintage racing, Dave. So how do yeah. you guys decide all that?
We don't like rules. rules make everything more difficult.
We've sure, got a, yeah, yeah.
We've got a rough guideline and... you know, everybody knows that you could potentially fit a brand new Yamaha engine in a 2002 chassis.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure that goes on. Would it make any difference to the end result of the racing? I don't think so.
Right.
If you're a good rider, you're gonna win on anything. You just want reliability. And to be fair, you know, when we're sending those guys around Fox Hills over those jumps, you wouldn't want them on a, you know, yeah. a piece of shit that's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that. You want people on reliable bikes. In 2002, God, how many years ago? How old is that? That's still
it's 24 14, years old. Yeah,
14 years old. When the vintage racing first started in the UK in 1990, a 490 Mako, which was the bike to have, was only 9 years old.
Yeah,
you know, so. This is where people get hung up with vintage racing. There is eras for bikes, and that's mm-hmm. that's great. But we will always keep up with what the next thing is going to be. Otherwise, otherwise the event will die. You know, the riders are getting older, the spectators are getting older. So you constantly need to bring in new people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem like, I'm sure that's one of the criticisms you hear of your event, right? Oh, the classes are wrong.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. Right.
All the time. So next year at Farley, we're dropping the twin shot class, which when I started this in 09, twin shot was the premier yeah, class.
Right.
The times move on. Mm-hmm. Those guys are now my age. They're mid 60s. And
yep.
they don't, there's very, not enough of them to make the event viable. So, you know, and the event has got to pay its way. So mm-hmm. we're going to do something for Farley Castle next year that's never been done in anywhere on the planet with vintage racing. We are going to introduce a four-stroke class for the YZF.
Oh.
From
oh.
So what year was the first YZF? Was it 97 or 98?
98, yeah.
98. So I think we're going to do like 98 to 04, that mm-hmm. period of four strokes, which, you know, those bikes are still over 20 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's part of motocross history. You can't just ignore that ever happened.
Yeah.
You need to embrace it. And I see guys that are restoring, you know, the YZF 400s, and they were awesome bikes. Yes, they might have sounded different, but mm-hmm. they were so trick, and they deserve a place within the vintage community.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree. Like I was talking to somebody who races in Texas vintage stuff over here, and he's telling me that there's one class where you can't change your suspension, but then guys drop in these race tech emulators and they're cheating and there's protests, and then there's a rear disc brake class but no rear disc, and I'm like, yeah man, it sounds like way too many yeah. sticklers, too many rules.
That's great, but how yeah. many spectators do they get?
Yeah, I don't even know.
I right. bet zero.
Yeah. Right. And it's, I just know, it's was just, like, yeah, it sounds like too many rules. Yeah.
Yeah, it yeah. is. It is. Yeah. The more rules you make, the less popular it will become.
Yeah. Awesome. Dave King here, Fly Racing Racer X podcast. I want to thank the folks at motorsport.com, by the way. Speaking of vintage parts, I'm building an 86 YZ125. I'm losing steam a little bit, but I am getting my vintage parts from motorsport.com. They got OEM and aftermarket parts, Rental, Maxxis, all available on there. Please check out motorsport.com. Go through the banner to help us out. That'd be great. Free shipping on everything over $79 at motorsport.com. The number one aftermarket ordering place in America is the folks at Motorsport. Thank you to Brunt Workwear as well. Pulp MX Show, code to save with Brunt Workwear. Talk about Doug Dubach. He's a working man. He probably wears Brunt work boots at the shop. Marin Omen boots, they got plaid workwear, they got tough overalls, jackets, all of that. Pulp MX Show saves you at bruntworkwear.com. Thank you to those guys. Try the boots out. A lot of mechanics are rocking the boots at the races every single weekend, so thank you to the guys at Brunt for coming in. And of course, Renthal and Maxxis and Fly Racing. The code Pulp MX saves you at flyracing.com. Dave King, Vet MXDN King. All right, Dave, so looking at yourself in a critical way over the years, from Fox Hill to Farley to now Hawkstone, what can you, at the end of the event, you and Rob are debriefing, are there things that you're always trying to do better, or things that you want to do better that you can't quite figure out, or, you know, that you get customer feedback on and you're like, yeah, we got to try that. What do yeah. you got to get better at?
Rob is better at that than me. I'm a bit of a, if it works, don't change it. But okay, Rob will, and everything he's done so far has worked. So I'm yeah, sticking yeah. with that. But yeah, right. just silly things, right? You know, like our entry system. Is there a fairer way of letting people try and mm-hmm. enter the race?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's difficult. It's yeah. difficult.
Like it's capped at a certain number. And
yeah, by the gate, by how many riders you can have on the gate, which yeah. is 40.
Right.
So that's 40, and we got 9 classes. We take a handful of reserves in each class, mm-hmm. but that's it. You know.
Yeah.
But as I said, we had enough riders to run another complete event, enough that didn't get in this year. So, you know.
Yeah,
it's
I guess hey, if you're working Sunday or you got a family obligation on that Sunday at 4 o'clock, you're just screwed.
but there's always somebody that could do it for you. You
okay,
don't have
true.
To do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I
right,
mean,
right.
I heard some great stories from that day. One guy was flying back from Argentina. They'd stopped in Spain to change flights. He did it on his. He happened to be there at 4 o'clock. He did it. Yeah. He got in. Another guy was on holiday in Thailand. So, you know, it yeah, is yeah. possible. I know it's difficult for the flyaway guys. That's why, you know, if somebody watching this from the States is watching this now and thinks, shit, you know, I'm too late. You're not too late. We do hold back some space for fly-in guys. So there's yeah. all, we always make room for non-UK guys, because that's what the whole event is about. It's bringing yeah. riders from all over the world.
Yeah, and so if someone is watching this or listening to this, can they rent a bike? Do you know people yeah, that rent out a bike?
Okay. Yeah, there are people that rent bikes. Yeah, I can put them in touch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know.
Friend, yeah. Our friend Gary might be renting some bikes.
Yeah, Gary. That's right. Gary was mad at us. My bad, Gary, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, Gary's a good guy. Gary's a good guy.
Listen, Medaglia was shredding on his bike. That was great.
That was a proper bike that we had.
It was. My other Canadian teammates, we let us down. We let Tyler down. Okay, so is there a dream? So you mentioned Wyndham. He's not doing it. He is not flying over an ocean. But is there a dream?
Just explain to me what is the thought process there? Why would he not do that?
He when he raced, he didn't like flying. He just, I think 9/11 freaked him out a little bit. He didn't like flying. You know, people have that fear. He had a private jet for a long time. Would rent a private jet, and then that cost him so much money, but he didn't care because at least private jet, he felt better. And then, since then, trying to get him to do anything, he just doesn't want to travel, man. Yeah, he just, it isn't that way for him. It's too bad.
Me as a fan, I don't see what it was like to be a professional racer.
Yep.
And, it must have been hard work. And I get it that they're done with it. They don't want to do it anymore.
So outside of Wyndham, who would you love to get there? Who are you working on to race it or get there or anything?
That's easy. But again, these guys are never going to come. Ricky Carmichael has got to be my number one. But
Rob's asked him, I'm sure.
Funny story, myself and Rob got invited to Monaco to the Formula One last year. Mm-hmm. One of our sponsors has got a boat down there, and Ricky was on the same boat.
And
Ricky obviously knows who me and Rob are through social media and that, but we don't even bother asking anymore. Ricky knows that if he ever wanted to come, the door's always open, but there's no point in pestering the guy.
But Dave, he's Triumph now. UK company.
We have tried that angle and failed miserably. Believe me, I do realize that. James Stewart. Oh my God,
You're not getting Stu. No chance.
Does he not travel?
No. He doesn't even answer the phone, man.
Is that right?
I'm stoked that he's back in the sport on TV. He does a great job, but
He's fantastic. Yep. Yeah, he draws me in. Those are the two dream ones, I guess.
That would be awesome. Even like you said, not to race, just to go there and sign autographs and check
exactly.
in. Yeah, soak in the event for sure. That would be all the things that are great to do.
Yeah. Going back when I was doing the event at Farley Castle, my dream, was Ricky Johnson, and I tried him for years, and then I think Doug saw him somewhere and he was like, yeah, I'll come. And that was just unbelievable. Ricky Johnson, for anybody who grew up, who knew motocross in the 80s, Ricky was the man.
Yeah. It would be great to get those guys for there for sure. One thing I think was really cool for me, I got to race one year I went as a spectator, watching, so the main event of this race is a country MXDN team, three UK guys, three Italian guys, three American guys, all that. These guys are hauling ass. Like, I remember Osborne came in and he's just like, I don't like that pace. Villopoto dropped out. He just dropped out. He's like, I'm not that serious anymore. So to see there on the side of the track, and what's weird, Dave, is like, I was a mechanic for 12 years. In the two-stroke era, I stood on the side of the track watching Emig and McGrath and Carmichael and all that. And, I don't know. I guess you just forget. Time fades. Memories go on. And when I go to your event, I watched Tommy and Zacho and all these. And I'm like, dude, that's pretty cool. Like Bobashev the one year on the 500.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, he was off the charts.
Yeah. So to me, one of the coolest things is just watching those guys race.
Yeah.
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 Because they're sending it.
Christoph Porcel last year. My God. That man, he was such a cool guy. But he had me. Funny story. Obviously, I know who Christoph Porcel is. Yeah. I followed him through his career, but I don't know him personally. And I didn't know about his little strange ways.
Yeah.
So we were there on the first day, and the riders are in the Parc Fermé, which is the holding box for the race. And I'm looking in the back of Doc Wobb's truck.
Yeah.
Where he should be getting ready. No, Christoph. He's not turned up. He's not there. And these guys are like 10 minutes away from, they're all in the pit box, you know, stamping down the start gate. All of a sudden he appears and I said, shouldn't you be up there at the race? He said, we have plenty of time. But apparently, speaking to people, that was what he was like in his racing days.
Yeah, he really was. Yeah.
And he went and, you know, and just totally blitzed the event apart from the first race.
Yeah. I don't know if this is 100% true, but I think it is. He had a late flight out of Millville one year and he was battling for the championship. And if he would have got top three, they were going to make him stay for the press conference. And he's like, I can't, I have a flight. And they're like, sorry, man, you have to do the press conference. And he said to the Cowie guys, okay, I will get fourth today. And he got fourth and went and caught his flight. Now, I don't know if that was on purpose or what, but that's the story. Yeah.
Yeah. After the event, all of the Facebook chatter was, Forsell must have been practicing for months. You know,
he's
got a special KX250.
Yeah.
Bollocks. The KX250 belongs to a friend of mine in Turin who Christoph only raced for the first time in 2 years at the event in practice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
No Crazy. Special, no factory parts, no special parts. It was just a nicely put together stock bike.
Nicoletti was on our show and him and Sipes were in the beer tent hanging out, and Christoph went up because he was on the team, right? It was Purcell, who was married to an American. So you guys put him on the American team. He went up to Sipes and Phil and said, hey, put the beers down, boys. No more. He's like, he took it serious. Yeah, he took it serious. Phil was like, hey, man, I'm just here to have some fun and ride and drink some beers. And Purcell was like, no, you go to bed now.
Yeah, so he wants to come back, but he wants a strong French team. He's already asked his brother, and his brother's not keen. And
you could get it, yeah, somehow.
getting three fast French guys that won a race. You know, I when I came over to the States last, I met with Vuillemin, because Vuillemin was a, you know, he was a god for us guys. I know he was. He was French, and he was in the States at that time, but he zero interest.
Yeah, he's over there now. He's in France. He's back in France living there, but I do not think he has any interest. No, I really doubt it. Is Marvin too young? Is Mousquin too young? Okay.
I actually sent a message to Doug yesterday to start working on Marvin.
Yeah. Yeah. Marvin will do it. Marv's got sponsors to appease, like O'Neill and all that. Yeah, so
the only problem is if he's still a KTM guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Who cares? Let him ride whatever.
Well, maybe we could build him an orange Yamaha.
Yeah, exactly. Build him a orange Yamaha. Let him do that.
Exactly.
Hey, one thing, Dave, I don't think I've ever asked you this. Were you just always a fan? Did you just go to the GPs? Did you race at all professionally? No. Like, what's your background?
I never did schoolboy racing. I started racing when I could buy a bike for myself in 1981, and I was always a very poor club rider.
Okay,
but I was when I went to the Grand Prix at Farley Castle back in the 80s, I was the guy hanging over the fence in the pits looking at the factory bikes.
Oh, cool.
The racing was a bit of a sideline. I was just totally besotted with the exotic bikes that you could not buy.
Yeah.
And I still am. And that to me is a great shame now, is the bikes are not special enough, or they don't look different enough from a production bike. I'm sure that's a great selling point for the manufacturer, but for idiots like me, I want something that, you know, is super trick built out of, I don't know what, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, that's one of the topics I have written down here is, at your event, the show and shine thing is amazing. The work the guys have done, and there's actual real factory bikes there, factory parts on bikes, and like I saw a Suzuki that was mostly stock, except it had factory forks. And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, where'd this guy get these forks? Who knows? And then Thorpe's bikes are there. Usually the factory Hondas of David's are floating around there. Yeah. So to me, that was the coolest part, was looking at the bikes. I'm with you. I grew up in a factory bike era, and from Canada, I never got to see anything ever. Bob Hanna raced Calgary Supercross in 84 on his factory bike. I was 10 years old. And drooled at this thing, low boy tank and all of that, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, the bikes, the racing's awesome. I mean, the bikes are awesome. Yeah,
absolutely. The bikes are as important as the racing. It's not all about the racing.
Yep. Nothing is cooler than that 85 Thorpe bike that you guys rode. Rob rebuilt and rode that 85. It was amazing.
Yes. Was that an 85 or an 86?
Was it 86 maybe? I don't know.
It could be an 86, yeah. So the owner of the 80, the Malab, Andre Malab 85 bike, is actually going to race it at Hawkstone.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe? I know. Yeah. He must be nuts. But he's coming up to 60, and he wants to say that he's ridden a factory bike around Hawkstone, so why not?
Yeah. I was a little bit bummed because I watched the whole damn YouTube video that that company put out with you and Doug racing. That's not Malera's bike. I thought it was Thorpe's bike that Rob rebuilt.
Rob did Thorpe's bike, correct.
Doug just took it up and down a field. He didn't even... I wanted Doug
that was
to...
That was the Malherb bike, yeah.
Oh, okay. I want Doug to suit up and do motos on that thing. I was a little bit... The whole thing, I was so excited, Dave, and Doug rode it in a straight line back and forth.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
to be fair, the guy had just shelled out nearly £200,000 on it. So we weren't going to throw it around a motocross track.
I want Doug to race it, because
Doug, of course, got to race the YZM 500.
Yes, yeah.
Many years in France.
Think about Doug. He actually raced against those factory Hondas back then, and he had a piece of crap Yamaha. But the bikes are unbelievable. At Hawkstone, you'll see them this summer. It's the pride the guys taking them, and the coolness. It's super awesome. Yeah,
it's great for the industry as well, because you know they're all buying parts from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good. It's good. Our event is good for the industry, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Because as you say, the pride people put in their bikes,
mm-hmm.
The show and shine has almost become as big as the race. The show and shine is on the Friday. And we get so many people come to watch that. And a bike hadn't even started by then.
No, it's super cool. I'm guessing you're like me, Dave, though, where like, that Malaire Thorpe stuff, is that the ultimate for you? I mean, it is for me.
I would say the ultimate would be the Thorpe 86 bike, mm-hmm. and the YZM 500.
I've never seen a YZM up close. So I grilled Doug about riding it because Doug races it. And it's actually not that good of a bike. I asked Vimond.
No, he said it's horrible.
Right. I asked Vimond at Bercy one year all about it. And Vimond's like, nah, honestly, it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And Doug said the same thing, which kind of crushed my dreams a little bit.
Well, I guess those factory bikes are built around a rider, not, you know, and then mm-hmm. when somebody different comes on that bike, they're going to feel, I don't know, it's just a club rider. I don't know. That's my take.
No, absolutely. I got to spin laps on Jet Lawrence's bike like last year.
No way.
Yeah. For a Racer X thing, Honda let us ride Jet's bike and Chase's bike and around Washougal, and I mean, it was special for sure. It was really cool. I'm old enough where I would rather spin laps on that Malaire bike, but still, it was unbelievable, right? Unbelievable to ride a bike that's full factory like that. So pretty cool deal to do it. Awesome. Okay. Did I miss anything, Dave? Hawkstone? This year, Farley.
I think we covered everything. We could do politics if you like, but we'd be here all night.
We better not. When's Farley? What's the date of Farley?
Farley is 12th and 13th of September.
Okay. And I'll probably put this up before the new year. So stay tuned for news on this potential series for the Vet MXDN guys. Follow them on Instagram as well to learn all about the race and see the highlights. And then, you know, we'll have probably one of the American guys on my show at some point talking about the weekend that was. It's always fun to hear the stories, right? Afterwards. Yeah, it's great. And thank you to Rob and Dave, and also to you for getting me there for a couple of years, man. I know,
you're always, there's always a bike here, well, you know, waiting for you, Steve. If you want to come back next year, you've only got to say you're there.
I can't wait to see what it looks like at Hawkstone. And I know you guys, I would wish you luck, but you don't need it. You guys are going to crush it again. So I appreciate the time here. Fly Racing, Racer X Podcast, motorsport.com, Brunt Workwear, Renthal, and Maxxis Tires, all on board with us. That's Dave King. Thanks, Dave. And don't hang up right away, by the way. I forgot tell you that at the start.
Cheers, Steve.
Stay on the line. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening with Dave King.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Motorsport.com, Renthal, and on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air.